Hello, everybody, and welcome to NPC Cast. On today's episode, we talk about deck building games, and as always, we tell you what we are excited about. It is June 14, 2013, and you're listening to episode 24 of NPC Cast.
You are now listening to NPC Cast, your place for face-to-face games.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to NPC Cast, your place for face-to-face games. My name is Chris, and I am coming to you from sunny Seattle, Washington, and I am by myself. I'm just kidding. Like I do every single week, I brought a couple of NPCs with me. I gotcha. To my left is NPC Aaron. Aaron, how are you doing?
I think that my hands are still covered with Zappa Gap.
Oh, because you're putting together models these days.
Yeah, I finally bit the bullet on War Machine hordes and picked
was
up
it
some...
Was it a silver bullet? Because you play with wolves?
Oh yeah, I have warp wolves.
Yes, you dearly do. Got there. and from the frozen tundra of the north, the one, the only NPC Del. Del, how are you?
I have Phthalo Green and Hunter Green both on my hands.
Those are like oil paint colors.
Well, I've been painting my Firestorm Armada fleet because spaceships
with oil paint.
Well, it's just the color.
Oh,
but yeah, I have because I figure spaceships can blow up warp wolves pretty easily. I'm just gonna bring my Firestorm fleet to the next Warma hordes. It's like, whosever turn it is, that's what game's rules apply.
Yes, I'm down. Let's do like Inquested with the CCGs, but with the minis games. So like a tournament where all the minis games face each other to determine which is the best.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds pretty fun. Yeah. Oh, that could work. That could be pretty good. We can play. Actually, why keep it to minis games? Keep it any game.
Yeah, just like bridge player shows up at one end of the table. It's like two of clubs beats the warp wolf.
Yeah.
When Hive beats everyone, I'm gonna laugh. Because it's the bugs. They're evolutionary.
Yeah. My bishop is going to like slide across the table diagonally and like destroy your war machine, war jack or something. Repent. All right. If you would like to contact us and tell us about how awesome you think that idea was, you can reach us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @NPCChris.
I'm @NPCAaron.
And I'm @NPCDell.
You can reach us on the show Twitter, and that is @NPCcast. You can also reach us on Facebook, Aaron.
That's facebook.com/NPCcast.
Right. And if you would like to email us, you can email us at thenpccast@gmail.com. Boom. That was the best we've ever done it.
Yeah, that was just like a 1-2 social media punch.
Yeah. We should never do it again, and we'll like
let's just replay
exit
that
on the
one.
Top.
Yeah, just cut that one into every show.
Great. Awesome. Well done. So today, we are going to talk about one of my favorite styles of games, and that is a deck builder.
I like deck builders, too. It's like my stealth favorite.
Whoa, your stealth favorite.
Yeah.
Your in-the-closet favorite.
Well, like, I like deck building games a lot, but I never get to play them because of one of the common criticisms we'll get to later.
Whoa, a little bit of foreshadowing. Ooh, what is this, some kind of professional show? Aaron, can you explain to our listeners what a deck builder is if they don't already know?
Yes, a deck builder is a game wherein the building of the deck that you draw from and play with is also the course of the game. So each turn you are putting cards into your deck, and then you are drawing from that deck.
Where did it all start?
It started with Dominion, designed by our man DXV.
DXV!
A.K.A. Donald X. Vagarino.
Holler at your Nino.
And that game now has a billion... expansions. Where is this going?
you don't call him Nino Vaccarino?
Now I do, I guess. But
Right. Wow. So, yeah, Aaron pretty much summed it up. Through the course of the game, you are usually using resources to purchase cards. Those cards go into your discard pile, eventually to get shuffled into the deck that gets larger and larger as the game progresses, and you're able to draw your powerful cards that you are purchasing later on. Now, within deck building, the genre of deck building, there's a few different styles. So let's touch on those a little bit so people can kind of get ideas of the games that we're going to be discussing. So, Del, what is the first sort of style of deck building games?
The first style is the randomized pile. That's basically what DXV came up with Dominion, and then Thunderstone uses it too, where there are different piles in the center of the table that represent different stuff. And those piles change from game to game to keep it interesting and to also make expansions easier to print, where you are buying from a particular set of piles. And there are play sets, basically, where you take, you know, all piles that deal with a particular kind of thing to encourage that to be pushed to the forefront.
Exactly. Another type of deck building games is the single deck games. Now, in these games, instead of having a randomized piles of decks in the middle of the table, you have one deck that sort of feeds a pool. So you're looking at games like Legendary, which is the Marvel deck building game, the DC deck builder. What's the DC deck builder called?
It's called DC Deck Building Game.
Yes.
There you go. So the DC Deck Builder, aka DC Deck Building Game, and Ascension, which is which was designed by our boy,
sexiest man in Magic,
Brian Kibler, Brian P. Kibler.
What was the P for again?
I forget. Philippe. Brian Philippe Kibler. But so in these games, what happens is you have, like, for example, Ascension has a center row of six spaces. So you just pull six cards off of the one deck, put them on the spaces. When you purchase a card from the center row for your deck, it gets replaced by a new deck off the or new card off the top of the deck. So it does still have random cards that are being produced, but you don't start with random. You don't start with random decks in place.
Yeah, it's almost more random because it's harder to plan. Like, you can't really plan a full combo like you can in a game like Dominion, since you know all the cards that will ever be in the game. From the moment Dominion starts. As where Ascension, if the card doesn't turn up, you can't really plan on having it. So
exactly. And well, while we're at it, let's finish out the styles of deck building games.
I mean, it's less a category, but there are some outliers. Mm-hmm. Core Worlds is kind of different than either of those for the most part. So it's like a combination kind of.
It is kind of a combination. In Core Worlds, what happens is you go through different sectors. And so as the game progresses, as you move through turns, you are filling the center pile with random cards as you would a single deck game. Although the piles that are feeding into that center pile are changing throughout the game, if that makes sense.
And then there are also some games that use different things than cards. Puzzle Strike uses Pogs, essentially. I mean, just mm-hmm. little chips, it calls them, but they're basically Pogs. And what's nice about that is you don't have to shuffle them, because you just throw them all in a bag and shake it up and then reach in and draw.
That's great.
Quarriors uses dice, mm-hmm. and they just released a Lord of the Rings dice building game with the same mechanic. And then there are games like A Few Acres of Snow, in which one of you plays the British army and one of you plays the French army during the French Indian Wars, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that one also adds like a map and some other stuff. So deck building is relatively new in games. So they're always coming up with different ways to do it.
Right. In fact, when a lot of times when you talk about game design and when you look on forums across the internet, a lot of people sort of point to Dominion as being the last sort of revolutionary design change in board games. Like, Dominion came out and now all of a sudden, like, there's deck builders everywhere. I mean, there's like a Penny Arcade deck builder. There's all sorts of ones out there. And it's sort of like, you know, whenever you look in, like I said, when you look in forums and whatnot, in game design forums, you know, people always say, hey, listen, like, you know, your game design is pretty cool, but let's be honest, it's not deck building. Like, you're not revolutionizing the genre. You're not creating a genre. So what about deck building games, Aaron, do you think they do really well? Like, what is it about deck building games that makes them so cool?
They allow you to, like, build an engine a lot of the times. A lot of the deck builders reward an engine-building strategy, and by that, they reward planning. So you have to kind of plan out, like, a combo, essentially, like combo decks in Magic a lot of times, where you have to grab the right cards and the right amounts so that you can basically try to draw your whole deck each turn. Mm-hmm. And play all the actions that are important. And not a lot of other games allow you to build an engine in, you know, an hour or less like deck building games do. A lot of the other games that allow you to build an engine are games that take a long time to play, like 90 minutes plus.
Right. I mean, one of my favorite things about deck building games is the idea that I can be putting pieces together, and then as the game goes on, I'm doing cooler and cooler things with those pieces. It feels like you can feel the progression of the game moving forward. Del, what is something that else that deck building games do well? Something that you particularly like about deck building games?
The thing I really like about them is that they play well at very low numbers of players. Like mm-hmm. 3 or even 2 is perfectly acceptable for a deck building game. I know Resident Evil, the deck builder, is actually designed for 2-player, and it works really well that way. So deck building can be a really good option if, you know, you're missing more than a couple people from your normal group. You can bust mm-hmm. out that deck builder and you just pop, 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 go through turns like lightning.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron, you had something to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say that I work in a game store now, and people often ask, like, what's a good 2-player game? And I'm always like, well, all of the deck builders work well at 2 players. Like,
right.
Feel free to grab any of them.
Right, yeah. This past weekend, I learned how to play Core Worlds, and I was playing with my friend Matt, who you are hearing right now on the Angels Over Bourbon Street, and it was just us two at the game store, and we're like, you know, let's play some games, and we ended up playing Core Worlds because I was like, hey, he had never really tried a deck builder before, and I was like, you know, let's try this one out, and yeah, they scale really well with players by their very nature.
Can we refer to people who we have on and like on TPKs as like as if they were Ultimate Fighters with their character name as their like quoted middle name? So he's like Matt Rad Dad Tad Christensen.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could.
And like Matt Crago of the Mountain.
Salisbury.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
I just discovered something that is absolutely mind blowing.
What's that?
When do you think Dominion came out? Gut check. Don't think about it.
When Dominion came out?
Yeah, when did the first deck building game exist?
2003.
I'm gonna say 2003, 2004.
2008.
Oh wow!
They are still real new. We are still in the honeymoon phase of deck builders.
Yeah,
they're still brand new. And we're still exploring all the mechanics and the design space that exists in them.
Right, and I think that's something that I think we should maybe talk about a little bit, is that, you know, having played a variety of deck-building games, they all sort of do something. The core is there, the idea that you're building your deck, but they do it in different ways. Like, you know, I was speaking to Marguerite, who works at our local game store here in Ballard, and when I was like, hey, this past weekend, I said, hey, I'm looking for a deck builder game. She's like, well, how crazy do you want the game to get? Because certain games like Core Worlds is very, you're methodical. You're getting incremental advantages. But then when you look at a game like Ascension, it's possible to get to a point where you're drawing your whole deck every turn.
Yeah. I actually didn't think of putting that in the you know, pros column of the show notes, is since they're so new, there's still like this excitement every time I try a new one to see like what new stuff is done. And I still feel like we haven't hit the pinnacle deck builder where I'm just like, yes, this is the, like, does everything I'll ever want a deck builder to do. There's still always things where I'm like, oh, I wish a deck builder had this from this one and this from this one. And you know, that's how I'm always feeling about them. So.
Right. I mean, when I think of my ideal deck builder, I think of, Like, I want to be able to come out to do a combo that feels really powerful. Like, I want to have a turn that eventually my hard work all pays off. But it's difficult to do that in a way that allows there to be a catch-up mechanic, sort of, or that your opponent to sort of come from behind, which is something that deck builders in general do pretty well, right?
Yeah, I think the combo nature of them, like them having the combos, makes them it possible to do the come from behind. Before, I had played a lot of Dominion and I didn't know all of the like well-known combos. There'd be many times where I would think I was winning and I would buy 3 of the 8 provinces and my opponent would have bought none, and I would have been like, oh, I'm just going to keep buying one a turn, and then bam, he'd combo out, buy all 5 of the remaining provinces in one turn and win the game, and I'd be like, oh, okay, well, I lost. And I like that when you're building your combo, sometimes you get behind, but you can leap ahead, and that's something pretty cool, I think.
Right, exactly. And I think the other thing, too, and maybe, Del, you can speak to this a little bit, is that because the core is so sort of simple, the idea of, you know, shaping your deck as you're going through the game is so simple, there's a lot of room to have different elements sort of come to play, right? Like, for example, in the DC deck building game, there is one resource that is used to both fight villains and to purchase like new superpowers. But when you look at something like Ascension, there are two resources, one in which you fight monsters, one in which you fight one in which you buy allies. So there's a lot of space in there. I mean, those are two, it's a small change, but it makes the games feel very, very different from each other.
Yeah, and the games are also really good at sort of mixing and matching. Like Aaron said, there's always a new deck building game that has one thing or another. Like Resident Evil is basically Dominion, but it adds the kick in the door deck from Munchkin to it. It's Dominion's got the 10 cards in the middle of the table, but there's a deck full of zombies, and you basically have to kick down the door every turn and see what happens, and fight a zombie or run away.
Usually run away.
That's
what I would do.
But and as they get more interactive, you know, it was started with just, you know, witches and moats back in Dominion, and now there's decks that, you know, you actually do stuff on other people's turns rather than just fending from a card. So
Let's actually get into that a little bit and segue a little bit into some of the critiques that people have. The idea of interactivity, Aaron, can you speak on that a little bit?
Yes. Deck builders, one of the reasons they work real well at low numbers is because you don't, in many of them, do a lot on other people's turns. In fact, in some of them, you do nothing.
Mostly I swear on other people's turns.
Mostly Del cusses as you buy the cards he wanted to buy.
Correct, yes. And I encourage, that is a valid way to play, and I think it's an integral part of deck building games is physical and verbal intimidation of your opponents.
Yeah, so while you do have to react to your opponents, because if they buy an attack card in Dominion, and there's a card that helps defend against attacks, you may want to start picking them up if your opponent gets aggressive, or get aggressive right back to run the deck out of curses faster, so you don't get all 10 of them. While they force those kinds of reactions, a lot of times you're not doing anything on other people's turns, which then means that when you play the games with 4 or 5 people, sometimes you feel like you're just sitting there a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, to their credit, normally with most deck building games, maybe not Core Worlds, which I just played this past weekend, but with most deck building games, you don't really get that analysis paralysis where usually your turn happens and it's pretty quick. You know, it's like, here's your hand, you put it on the table, I'll buy this, I'll kill that, and go. You know, so normally it's relatively quick. Which helps, but you're absolutely right. It's like you're sort of playing in many ways solitaire against the deck.
Yeah, I think the single deck games do a lot better actually in keeping people engaged, because new cards are flipping up all the time when it's not your turn. So you have to like at least look. And then the other thing game that I think works has improved on this a lot is Legendary, because since you're playing together, you're always like talking like, hey, can you kill this guy on your turn? Because there's no way I can kill him on my turn. And everyone's like talking about their hands and what they have.
Right. But I mean, Legendary is like a cooperative deck building game.
Well, yeah, it's different from most of the deck building games in that way.
Yeah. Do you think that with the single deck games, because there's that random element of you're not sure which card is going to replace the one you just purchased, do you think that sort of is another valid criticism of the game? That, for example, if I purchase something on my turn, the next card that's coming out is totally awesome and now I don't have access to it, that my opponent gets to the first crack at it?
I mean, that the single deck games are also, I would say, there's more variance and less skill involved in who wins, because sometimes the good cards aren't there on your turn.
Right.
But one thing I think they do very well is that it's not only combo. In Dominion, like some form of combo, drawing combo is almost always available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in like the stack deck games, as where in this type of game, a lot of times, because you don't know if your combo is going to be there fully, so it opens up a more, to coin Magic term, aggro strategy. We're just buying like good things to kill the creatures as they pop up and collect the honor before everyone else draws a million cards is a valid way to play Ascension, and sometimes beats the combo player. So, I mean, I think that deck builders will reach their pinnacle when we see that full trifecta of like aggro control combo available in a deck builder like equally. So one common criticism is in a lot of these games there are a few common strategies. And you're basically just picking which one you want and then going for it. In Ascension, a lot of people favor either the Mechana Construct strategy or the Lifebound strategy. And the other two factions in the deck are more meant to supplement by either thinning your deck or drawing you a lot of cards.
Yeah, I mean it's really tough, right? Because the idea is when I'm playing a deck building game, my sort of ideal is that I want to be building up to that penultimate turn when all my pieces work together coherently, right? So I want a game to be able to have those pathways, but it has to have variety of different pathways that are balanced against each other. And you can go at it from attack the problem of, you know, scoring the most victory points from different angles. And so that's sort of where I think we're at now, where a lot of times the problem is that deck builders, they sort of start off pretty clean and pretty balanced and pretty simple, but then they start adding in all this other stuff to add these wrinkles, and then the game sort of gets a little bit muddied, right? Like, every deck builder has, not every deck builder, Dominion, for example, has a bajillion expansions.
Yeah, and if you play full random with all the expansions, you often find yourself with, like, a bunch of cards that there's like one combo that works, and then like six of the decks don't really work well with any of the other cards out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, the muddied concept definitely happens with a lot of, with expansions in any game, but deck builders are prone to, you know, having a lot of expansions. If Dominion came out in, what did we say, 2008?
Yeah.
And it's already got, you know, Prosperity, Hinterlands, Dark Ages, Intrigue, Alchemy, Cornucopia. It's already, yeah, and Seaside. That's sorry, I knew
more,
I was missing
over one expansion, more than one expansion per year.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So it's already got that. But so when you draw, like if you play just the base set and Alchemy, the Alchemy cards are interesting. But if you only have one Alchemy card, that card's not, nobody buys it, because you have to buy a potion to get the Alchemy card, so you're just wasting turns that are only good for helping you get this one card, and no one card is as good as skipping a couple turns, you know. So.
Now, Del, moving over to you, I've heard you say before that you were hunting for a deck builder that did what you wanted it to do, that did everything you wanted it to do. What is something that deck builders right now aren't giving you?
I think Aaron already actually hit it, which is that trifecta of aggro control combo, of giving me the option to play the game how I want to play it each time, or even, you know, dynamically have to change my playstyle. Because like Aaron said, if there's a set cards that are out there, you pick that strategy and it's, welp, I guess I'm going odd-numbered hero cards so I can play Deadpool strategy, And you just, you know, you key in on that, and that's how you're going to do it. And that it would be dynamic and have to, you'd have to change each time and be skilled at all three of those forms of play would be ideal. I also would love a deck building game that was Dominion, but not in a Middle Earth high fantasy setting.
I think this is the fourth episode that has come up on.
Well, he's passionate about that.
No, I know. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, I played Core Worlds this past Sunday, like I've said, and I really enjoyed it. It was a very, very good game. It did not deliver my sort of perfect deck building experience like I wanted it to, because to me it felt less like a deck building. Like you were building your deck, yes, but there was other things in play. You know, you had different resources. Conquering worlds and gathering energy, all that sort of stuff. So you have all these other elements working that it felt like me and my opponent, even though we sort of were picking different cards, our decks played roughly the same. In my ideal deck builder, which maybe is out there, maybe I haven't played it yet, or maybe it's not possible even. But I would like there to be just those different angles of attack. So I can key into one strategy. My opponent can key into another strategy, and we can sort of see our decks build that way and then kind of find these cool, I guess. For example, when I'm playing a game like an LCG or even like Magic the Gathering, where there's like sort of the like limited, right? It's sort of like deck building. Like drafting is sort of like deck building. You're picking a card each turn from a pack of 15 cards and putting them and building your deck that way. You can start to see how the cards interact in different ways. Whereas in deck building, I feel like the strategies are relatively linear. Does that make sense?
Yes, most of them are very linear.
And I'll probably just cut all of that out because that probably didn't make much sense at all.
No, I got you. Can we talk about one very practical thing that a lot of deck builders don't do well at all?
Sure.
They are really poorly organized a lot of times.
Oh.
Like I open the box and they are just a disaster.
Yeah.
Can I call one out in particular?
Yeah,
I would like to let Upper Deck Entertainment know that Legendary is the worst packaged product I have ever seen in any product for any item ever.
Wow.
Well, tell us how you really feel. But to be fair, the designer of that game has basically taken all of the criticisms that we could levy against it, like the font and Dell, you don't like the same art for.
No, but he's talking about the packaging.
Well, though. I understand, and the packaging because the cards are not packaged
in sensibly
stacks like every other deck builder. It's like, oh, here's all 10 of these and all 10 of these. They're not like that.
Right.
He has addressed all of that. Like all of the practical things that people complain about in that game are all being changed in the expansion at least. So
and that's great. I hope they actually do a deluxe edition maybe in the future that comes in a sensible box and has all those changes from the expansion in the core set, because I think Legendary is a fun game to play. It's just brutal to look at, set up, or interact with as a physical object.
And at least Legendary has room in the box for the cards from the expansion, and it even has dividers for them.
Mm-hmm.
As where some deck builders, they clearly are going to make expansions, but the box that it comes in only fits the core games, and then the expansion only fits that expansion. If you wanted to in real life play the full Dominion experience, like you get on a lot of the online services, you would have to bring all the boxes or buy a third-party product, and there's no reason for that. You may as well. I'm pretty sure DXV knew that he was going to design more versions, so he could have just packaged it in a way that fit them.
Because he was crafting the packages himself.
Well, I mean, you have a say.
Yeah.
I'm sure he got to see the beta, and he could have gone, well, you know, I'm designing a billion expansions for this, so why don't we make a package that will fit some of those?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think usually the game designer hands it off to the publisher, and the publisher handles all that stuff.
Okay, well, the publisher could still know.
I'm just saying, don't throw DXV under the bus.
Not necessarily. I'm just saying, for some reason, deck-building games usually have terrible packaging.
It's true. And so part of it is the nature of the game, too. It's like, it's you have to every time you start, you have to organize like 12 different piles of cards, and they have to be sorted at the right amount and everything.
And that is one thing the single deck games definitely help, is they're way faster to play out of the box.
Right.
As where Legendary, you have to set up the villain deck. In Ascension and the DC game, at least, you're like, I pull out the main deck, I pass each of you a hero card in your opening hands, let's go. And like, in Dominion, you know, you're like, I pull out the randomizer cards, shuffle them, we draw those, then we go get those pile of cards and set them out, and then we get the provinces, and it's a high-maintenance game to set up sometimes, but the single decks are way nicer. In fact, I often suggest them to people who are like, we have 30 minutes. I'm like, go. You pull out the board, pull out the deck, and play.
I thought, we have 30 minutes. Go. Oh, no, I mean literally leave. There's no game that can be played in 30 minutes. You're trolling me.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. But yes, I understand. I meant I give them Ascension, and I'm like, go play this. You can play this in 30 minutes with two people. So
yeah, and right. That's why I say that it is my stealth favorite genre. What it does well, it does better than any other kind of game. But there are stumbling blocks, especially at scaling it for multiplayer, that make it not the right choice every time. But when it is the right choice, there is nothing better than going back and forth in a deck building game with an opponent.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So one thing I typed up in the show notes was that now deck building as a mechanic, and not in the same way as like in it is in a CCG where you build your deck and then play the game, but actually deck building, like a deck building game, is a sub game of some games that are coming out. I mentioned A Few Acres of Snow, which is basically a war game, essentially, that uses a deck building mechanic. But Mage Knight is kind of a, not really a dungeon crawl, but like an overland crawl, I guess. You're walking around fighting monsters.
It's a crawl.
Yeah, it's a crawl. But it has a deck building mechanic. As you learn new techniques, you get to draw them into your hand. You can get rid of other ones. Your wounds go in your hand that affect you. And you learn new spells and all that. So a big part of the game is deck building. And I'm interested to see what other games start to use it as a mechanic in their games.
And yeah. And that's what's so exciting about the deck building games in general. It's such a young format, and we're still seeing all the different ways that other designers take that concept and then mash it up and fold it into other games until you get a Hanzo Hattori out of it. And see what unique interactions are available.
Yeah, I agree. The fact that all three of us, I think, we don't get us wrong. We enjoy deck building games. I mean, we said at the top of the show they're some of our favorite games. Much love to DXV for coming up with the genre. That being said, none of us have found that game that delivers everything that we want. And that's not saying that all three of us want the same things, but I mean, we're all sort of left with the tastes in our mouth that we want more.
So that being said, what game gets the closest for you of the deck builders you have played?
From the deck builders I have played, the one that's closest to what I want is Ascension so far. Although with the caveat that I love everything Privateer Press does, and I've heard nothing but good things about their new deck builder, but Ascension to me, it has multiple resources, which is what I like. I like that you can sort of go either a high power or high runes deck, and it has different factions so that they're sort of there's strategies within the game that are a little bit linear. But none of them are so linear that if you go down one path, you can't switch in the middle of the game to another path as well. Like if you're going down like the life tree or whatever in Ascension, and a good like mechana card comes out, you can still take those mechana cards if you want, and they still work really reasonably well together.
Yeah, one thing I really love about Ascension is because one whole faction, almost all their cards have some sort of deck thinning on them. Deck thinning is readily available to everyone all the time. as where, because here's a hint, if you haven't played a lot of deck building games, deck thinning is key to winning. Getting rid of your bad cards is very valuable in deck building games. Yep. Getting rid of a bad card early in the game is much more valuable than drawing a card at any stage of the game most of the time. So a lot of games, deck thinning is only available at certain points to certain players, or you know, it pops up one. There's so few deck thinning cards in the single deck that you may never get any, and I think the other players have a very distinct advantage if they get them all. So that's, I love the that deck building and all, or deck thinning and drawing is the other kind of strategy that is available, and one of the factions are available to like everyone at all times, almost usually.
Right.
So what is your favorite game of all time, Aaron?
My favorite deck builder so far that I have played is Puzzle Strike. Because A, I don't have to shuffle, because that's one thing that gets tiresome about deck building games is shuffling the decks over and over. But also because it's very interactive. It's super fun, and it's kind of it's very different from all of the other deck builders, because you are literally playing out like a Super Puzzle Fighter turbo game with the chips, and the chips are turning into gems that you put on your opponent's playmat, which looks like looks like one of those like score boxes that you play in like a Tetris style game.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty awesome.
Very cool. What about you, Dom?
I'm gonna take it a weird place. I'm gonna say Resident Evil.
Really?
Yeah. Like I said, I love Dominion. I wish there was a game exactly like Dominion, but with not high fantasy, and Resident Evil is survival horror. And then it adds the randomness of the single deck format in that zombie kick in the door deck. And it also supports both co-op, where you can decide to help your opponent or not fight a zombie each turn. And it also supports versus, where you are racing to kill the most zombies. And you can actually help your opponent one turn to share the victory points, and then the next turn shoot him in the face. And you can just elect to attack your opponent or your partner up until you attacked him, I suppose. And the permutations of the Resident Evil game are still... are still being created, and you know, it's unfortunate that some of the art is not great. There's a lot of CG that's kind of sketchy, but you know, that's par for the course for Resident Evil. But
I gotta play this game now.
Yeah, I mean,
I discounted it because I had no interest in the theme of Resident Evil, like survival horror zombie board games. In general, a little played out with me right now, so that's why I have never bothered to play it. But I'm interested in it now, based upon your suggestion.
Yeah, and one of the things it does that's super cool is there is a boss monster placed inside the random deck somewhere, and when he pops up, if you kill him, that's the end of the game. So, and obviously you can bury him, you know, X number of cards deep, or you know, somewhere after the first 20 cards to make it more interesting. But, you know, no Zerg Rush 15 minutes, whatever. But, yeah, there's a ton of different modes of play going on in Resident Evil and a bunch of different stuff. It might be a little too ambitious at times. But I hold out hope that someone will take that license, strip out some of the bad stuff, and throw it on an even better game, and maybe it'll be that mythic one true deck building game.
The one to rule them all.
Yes.
Can I give an honorable mention?
No.
Okay.
What would it be?
It would be Miskatonic School for Girls. Because I love that you only buy some of the cards for your own deck, and then you buy the bad cards for your opponent's deck, and then you really spend the game using your good cards to fight your own bad cards. So it's kind of an interesting take on the game.
That is an interesting take, yeah. All right, well, that was sort of our show on deck building.
Go play deck builders with your friends.
Go play deck builders with some friends.
Or if you know of a cool deck builder we didn't talk about, like if you've already played the holy grail of deck builders we're talking about, and suggest it to us so we can play. Because we'd love to play. I want to keep talking to make you keep making that sound effect.
I should probably have you talk say that again without me making that sound effect, because I won't be able to cut that out.
I'd rather you be stuck with it.
Leave it in. All right, fine. I'll just cut the whole thing out. Before we go, we're going to get into what we are excited about, and we will start that right now. Love to hear him. But, all right, and to the things we are excited about portion, I will go ahead and start because mine is pretty short. This past week, DriveThruRPG released they call it a beta, but it works fine. And it's basically a new format that publishers can use when putting their games onto DriveThruRPG, and it is pay what you want. The big game that is on there right now is Fate Core. We've talked about it on the show. We think it's an awesome game. We recommend it. But Fate Core is available right now on DriveThruRPG for pay what you want. I know there's a lot of other, like tons of other developers and publishers that are sort of doing this as well. I think Brandon, who we spoke to a few episodes back, put a couple of his projects on there as pay what you want. And yeah, it's a pretty interesting thing that's happening in the games industry. I think it might be sort of a game changer in a way when you have the biggest online PDF distributor for role-playing games now has this feature built in for anyone to use. So, Aaron, what do you think about this?
I'm a fan because now I'm going to be able to afford some of those. I'm going to take a chance on some of those games for a few dollars, and then, you know, if I love it, I can give them more money later, rather than being like, man, I really want this PDF, sounds interesting and the sample pages are good, but I don't want to spend $15 on it, which I find happens a lot when I'm browsing DriveThruRPG.
Right. Del, do you have thoughts specifically on pay what you want?
No, I think it was going to work. I think it's going to work great. They've done that for video games for a while now with the Humble Indie Bundles, and, you know, even with that, you know, pay what you want, most people end up paying, you know, not above retail, obviously, but above zero.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that's, I think it's really great. You know, it's to have, especially to have something like Fate Core, which had a huge Kickstarter, you know, was hugely successful, for them to come out and say, hey, this is pay what you want. It's like right in line with what Evil Hat has already been doing anyway. But I think they're sort of like leading the charge in this crusade. So yeah, check it out. I mean, you can head over to DriveThruRPG. We'll put a link on in the show notes. Now that link will have our money number. I'm gonna call it that. I don't know what it's called.
Referral.
Yeah, referral. No, let's call it a money number. It'll have any funds you use will be wired directly into our offshore Swiss bank account.
Yeah, it's actually a fake page that looks like DriveThruRPG. We just take the money and it's like, you know, PayPal.
Yeah, it just goes right into our to our offshore accounts. But no, so it'll have a referral link. Again, if you don't want to support us, you know, you don't want to, you hate us, you hate our guts, you think Dell is pompous, you think Aaron is ugly, you're cool with me, but I mean, the fact that I associate with these two lowers your opinion of me, then, yeah, then use Google or something. If you don't mind supporting us, you can use our referral link. So anyways, that's that plug. Aaron, what are you excited about this week?
High Command, the Privateer Press deck builder.
Oh, did I snipe your,
you sniped it a little bit.
I should have, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
One of our good friends, Murr, who we've talked about before actually on the show, she went to Lock and Load. Mm-hmm. And I immediately, she came back and I was like, what was the deck builder like? That's like all I cared about. I was like, mm-hmm. I want to play this deck builder because I love the world of War Machine and Hordes and Iron Kingdoms. It's awesome. And they do an exceptional job, with their games. All of their little games are really cool. All of their big games are, you know, known for being the best balanced games of those type. They work a lot to support organized play. They're just a great company. And so when she told me that they're making a deck builder where you get to play factions and they want to have organized play where you're going to, you know, take, you know, sit your faction down and play a deck builder across from that, I was like, giddy. I was so excited. I believe it will be available at Gen Con, so I'm already setting aside some room in my, you know, in our merch suitcase. I'm like, that's where the deck builder will go.
Yeah, I think I've decided, like, we either have to bring one full merch suitcase, or we have to really look into shipping options. Although I think, I don't know, we'll have to crunch the numbers. But there's going to be so much stuff I want to bring back from there that it's going to be unreal. Now, when you say organized play, I want you to be specific. I mean, you're talking like tournaments and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things that they were going to try and do with this deck builder. That there are Dominion tournaments and whatnot too, but it's not a serious scene. Privateer Press already has the infrastructure in place to run those. I mean, they have their own convention, and it's just, it looks really cool. I want to play like some K-Dor in this game. So
I'm like tearing up thinking about how cool the artwork was going to be for that game.
They get some of the best artists. So yeah.
Dell, what are you excited about this week, good sir?
I am excited about gaming with randoms.
What?
This is this is a little bit short notice. Hopefully you're listening to this show the day it comes out, but I will be hosting a series of Fiasco games for Worldwide Free RPG Day. Free RPG Day. Up at a shop, I'll be coming down off the mountain, riding my bear. And then they have a hitching post out in front of the shop where I can tie the bear up. I'll leave the Frozen North. I'll be at Wandering Havoc Games. In Marysville, Washington, on June 15th. And I will be running Fiasco from noon to 4. And I don't get to game with random people or people who aren't gamers very often. And I've always said that the best gamers are non-gamers.
Yeah.
By far. Because they don't have preconceived notions of, you know, elves are always haughty and wizards are always better than everyone else. They don't have those notions locked into their head. And so they just explore and play for fun. Especially because Wandering Havoc does have a younger-ish crowd. I'm really excited to play some Fiasco with kids.
Now, that scares me, Del. Are you picking a child-appropriate sort of playset for Fiasco?
I have two playsets. One is basically Snatch or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. If the first four people that sit down at my table are a little bit older, then that'll be a lot of fun to do that London Underground crime thing. I also have a playset featuring elves and wizards and dragons because it is Fiasco set at a Renaissance fair.
All right.
That sounds pretty awesome.
I kind of want to make a kid-friendly, like specifically kid-friendly Fiasco playset, though, with like a very like kids book theme.
It actually exists. It's called Once Upon a Time by our good friend James Wallace.
Oh, friend of the show, James Wallace. Yeah.
Yeah, I also want to give a quick shout out if you are looking for something for very young kids, like 4 to 6 or, you know, up to maybe 8. I got some Rory's Story Cubes, which are 6-sided dice with just pictograms on them, and a couple suggestions for how to roll them in like a Yahtzee cup and, you know, have the kids make up stories about them. Very successful with my niece, who is right in that age range.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so that's pretty cool, Del. I'm excited that you're going to get a chance to play some Fiasco with some randos, as you call them, at Wandering Havoc games up in Marysville. What we can do is I'll go ahead and put it on like the Facebook and the Twitter before the show comes out. How about that? That way people will know in advance. But that means that you're locked in and you won't be able to go and win the PTQ.
Yeah.
That same day.
Well, I had to, you know, weigh my options, and I think doing something nice for people in my area is more important than just crushing scrubs.
So you're like Stepford Dell. Because that doesn't sound like something Dell would say at all.
Well, I figure, you know, if I go to the PTQ, I'm just going to win a PTQ.
Yeah, big whoop. Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, plane ticket to Dublin.
I'd much rather, you know, watch a little kid try and you know, return the stolen stuffed bison head to the mob boss in Leeds.
Oh, man. Well, if you have liked what you've heard or you've hated what you've heard, you can always give us a review on iTunes where we are available. 5 stars is preferred, but you know, we always take criticism and we like hearing what people think, and we do truly try to improve every show that we do constantly. If you are listening on Stitcher Radio, you can give us a little thumbs up button. You can also favorite us. We're told that does something in some sort of computer somewhere. I don't know. I don't know how computers work. Internet's a series of tubes, but something somewhere, someone is looking at those kind of things. And if you really want to help us out, the number one thing you can do is what, Aaron?
Tell friends.
You can tell your friends. Say, hey, I listened to this show. 2 out of 3 of these guys are awesome. The other one hosts. And it's overall a pretty good thing.
I like how you went humble there to counteract how you called Del Pompous and me ugly earlier.
It's a balance. It's a balance.
Karmically neutral.
Karmically neutral. And on that note, you may all add 1,000 XP to your character sheets, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye. NPCcast is written by Chris, Dell, and Aaron. You can reach us on Twitter at twitter.com/NPCcast or by email at thenpccast@gmail.com. As always, support your local game store.